Blog Talk Radio.
BFI Radio.
Hi, happy Saturday to everyone. This is Bridget Franklin, and I welcome you once again to Bridget Franklin Inspires Radio. Today, the episode that we are doing is somewhat non-traditional. Tyrone and I normally during the week get together and we discuss and we pray over our subject matter, and then we cater the show around that particular subject matter. But last week when Tyrone and I had a very deep conversation, we had discussed doing like a freestyle type show. And with the freestyle type show, what we were doing was we were talking about any types of questions, any kind of question that you wanted to ask, we would address that question. Now, before we start going into the questions, I'm waiting on Tyrone. He is on the road right now, and he's checking in. I see Tyrone now. Let me unmute him. Hold on just a second. Hey, Tyrone, are you there?
I'm here. Hey.
Hey. Okay, I was just getting ready to do a disclaimer on the questions that we have. I do not want anyone in the listening audience to let any children under the age of 18 listen to this episode. Some of these questions are very sensitive in nature, and I do not want any children listening to this particular episode, but you are free to let your children listen in to any future episodes that Tyrone and I have. When we decided to do a freestyle Saturday, I knew that there would be some really heavy questions coming in, but some of them are very graphic, and that I was not anticipating. Okay? So without further ado, I did want to invite my co-host, Ty, back. Welcome back, Ty. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, I'm so glad you are back. I missed you on your birthday, but I wanted you to celebrate the day you were born, because I celebrate the day you became my brother all day long.
Bless you.
Yeah. I'm trying to get brownie points because, you know, my birthday is next Saturday, so.
I want to get a gift.
Okay. Now, Tyrone, okay, we are going to behave. I am going to go straight into the questions. There were a total of 15, all right? But I had to narrow it down to 8. So we only have an hour. So now I'm going to jump right in feet first, okay? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. This first question says, what is God's order for marriage, and what are the consequences when the order of marriage is not being followed? Example, divorce.
Okay. Well, let's deal with the first part. God's order for marriage, and I'm assuming this person is speaking of, I guess, the husband and wife roles. Is that what you're getting?
It's all I'm getting. It's all I'm getting on this show.
God has made a specific order for marriage, and he established the order in the garden when he created man and made Eve. Understand what I said? I said he created man and then made Eve. Created means he brought something from nothing. He created man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. And the Bible says that he gave the man gender, man. Well, let me take that back. He gave man the species, man, dominion over the earth. When I say species, I mean man, not gender, but man species. And then we go into the third chapter of Genesis. Well, let me back a little bit. It says in the second chapter, if you look at the first three chapters of Genesis, you'll see the creation story, and then it kind of replays itself. In the second chapter, it talked about man. He formed man from the ground, and he made all these things. And then he says, you know, in the first chapter, he says, you know, everything was good. Okay. Then you go to the second chapter, and then it begins to kind of replay it again. Okay. Talks about man being formed from the ground, and I'm paraphrasing. And then it says, he brought all things unto Adam to see what we would call him. And he says, if you want to know why a dog is named a dog, it's because Adam said, your name is dog, your name is chicken, your name is horse. Then he said, there was nothing found that was suitable for Adam. There was nothing found that was a suitable helpmate, a helpmate that was compatible for Adam. So he caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And he made the woman from Adam. He took a rib from Adam, and he made the woman. Okay? Now, at that time, they had dominion over the earth. He gave the command to Adam that he could eat of every tree of the fruit of the garden, but in the midst of the garden, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he could not touch it. Okay? Third chapter we come, the serpent came, and he, of course, that was Satan. He deceived Eve. Now I want you to understand that when he deceived Eve, Adam was standing right there. Okay? He wasn't off there. He was standing right there. He deceived Eve. Eve ate of the fruit. She gave it to her husband. He willingly ate of the fruit. He was not deceived. First Corinthians tells us that he was not conceived. I mean, not deceived.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was going on, so he ate freely of the fruit. So here comes the Lord, and he talks to Adam and says, you know, what happened? What are you doing? And he said, well, I was naked, and I heard you calling. And he said, well, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And then we begin to pass blame, okay? He says, well, the woman mm-hmm. you gave me, she ate of the fruit, and I did eat. He goes to the woman. Then he says, the woman says, well, the snake serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So then God begins to hand out punishment, and this is where he sets up the hierarchy, or what we call the order. The Lord said to the serpent, because of what you've done, blah, 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 this is going to happen to you. Then in verse 16, he says to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay?
Mm.
There,
mm-hmm.
God sets up the order, where the husband is the head of the wife, and God is the head of the family. When we say the man is the head of the house, that is not true. God is the head of the house. The husband is the head of the wife. So what happens
mm-hmm.
is, and this is what happens. What happens is, when you get out of order, you get out of order of God's plan. Okay? This is where sin came into the world. Not so much that ate of the fruit, but that Adam hearkened to the voice of his wife and to the voice of God, instead of the voice of God. He says to Adam, in verse 17, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and ate of the tree that I told you not to eat of, then he hands out the punishment to Adam. It's not because he ate of the fruit, but it's because he got out of order. And there's a definite, distinct order that God has given, and the order is the man is the head of the wife, and the wife should submit to her husband. Now,
okay.
With that, and we're
okay.
going to Ephesians. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, well, I'm going to piggyback on this. What
okay.
if the husband is out of the will of God? Is the woman still supposed to submit to the husband if he is out of the will of God?
It is a very sticky area,
mm-hmm.
and it builds on a lot of things. First of all, we have to make sure that the person that we marry is God's choice for us and not something we just chose for ourselves.
Absolutely.
I say this whenever I do marriage counseling, the Bible is a perfect book. We are imperfect people. If we choose the wrong person or choose somebody that's not what God's choice is, then we have to deal with the consequences. So let's say you chose Johnny Joe. Johnny Joe's not for you. He's not acting right. You are still bound, according to God, as far as your fulfillment as a wife. As long as what you're doing or what it doesn't conflict with God's word, let me put it that way. If the husband wants you to cook, and you don't feel like cooking, you're still supposed to cook. If he asks you to clean, you're supposed to clean. Now, if he's asking you to serve another god, that's different. If he's
what
asking
if he's
you
beating
to
you?
Thing, I'm sorry?
What if he's beating you?
If he's leading you, beating you?
beating you, punching you in your face, beating you. Yeah.
Get out. I would never tell anybody to stay in a violent, you know, abusive relationship, because it says in Ephesians that man should love his wife as love his own flesh. And again, you know, you have to, I always encourage married couples to stay married, to stay in your relationship and tough it out, because you've made a vow and you made it's a covenant relationship, not so much to each other, but a covenant that we made to God. And when it says in good times and bad, when they say bad, they mean bad times. They don't mean, you know, our bills are behind. They mean really bad times. And there are times when the husband will have to carry the wife, and there will be times when the wife will have to carry the husband. But again, you know, and I always tell, and usually I have to tell this to wives, you know, you do what you're supposed to do according to God's word. And one or two things that happen, either he'll get right or he'll get gone. One or the other.
Yeah.
And but you have to stay true to what God has called you to do, and stay true to your covenant that you made with God.
Okay. All right. Well, this kind of segues into this next question, because it's also dealing with marriage. And it was like, well, how do you prevent your children from causing strife in your marriage? Because sometimes kids can cause division because they'll play one parent against the other.
When you're dealing with blended families and you have kids that are involved, the biggest thing and the biggest obstacle that parents have is dealing with, you know, kids playing one against the other. And the best way to deal with that is to have a united front. In other words, children, let me put it this way. My parents were married 35 years, and in those 35 years that they were married and they were alive on this earth, I never, ever saw them argue in front of us. You know, I knew that they argued. I knew that they had disagreements because they're human, but I never saw it. And as parents, we have to make sure that how we live in front of our kids does not create a situation where they can take advantage of division. In other words, if I say no, we both say no. If I say yes, we both say yes. And we should never create an environment where they can go to one over the other. But what happens is, in modern marriages, many couples use the children as bargaining chips or as leverage devices against their husband or wife. Well, if the husband says no, we'll say, well, yeah, I'm going to say yeah just because I'm going to spite him. But what they don't normally do is create a situation where the children can play one against the other, and that's not a healthy relationship.
No, it's not. And with my parents, I experienced, you know, that I would go to my mom and she would say no. And so I knew that I was somewhat of a daddy's girl. So then I would go to my dad, and I would get so mad because he would say, well, what did your mother say?
Exactly.
And I would say, well, she said A, B, C, D, and E. He said, well, that's what she said. Why did you come to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know your mother already said no. And so after two or three times, I just finally said, okay, whoever I went to first, that was going to be it, because they were not going to go against the other, even if they did not agree. And I never knew whether they agreed or not, because they didn't discuss it in front of me, because I was a child. You know, so, you know, I can totally, totally relate to that. And children can play one against the middle. And then I know with mothers, a lot of times, if women as nurturers, you know, we are fixers. And sometimes the dad is like, you know, look, Junior has to bump his head. And the mother at the same time is handing Junior $20 instead of making Junior go out and look for a job.
Amen.
You know, so it's, you know, it's a very ticky type of situation. And I've known marriages where children can almost cause people to divorce, because it turns into deception. And at church, our pastor has been preaching on family myths. And it was in Genesis, I believe, 27. And he was talking about, you know, a wife going against the husband, trying to help another son and playing favoritism and things of that nature. And it caused division, total division.
Yeah. And it goes back to order. It goes back to order again. When you have a husband and wife, and this happens mainly with women, with blended family, they're bringing the children, you know, children into a marriage. One thing we have to understand and make perfectly clear is that when you become married, when you join together in matrimony, your first priority is to your spouse, not to your children, not to whatever, is to your spouse. And the reason why I say that is because the Bible clearly says they that are two have now become one. It's one flesh, okay? It's not Bridget and Johnny Joe. It's them together. God looks at you as one person. So you cannot say, okay, you know, I may be married to Johnny Joe, but my kids come first. No, Johnny Joe comes first. And then together as one unit, you take care of the kids. So when you put your kids before your husband or your wife, you're getting out of order. It's out of order. And I know that's that's a hard pill to swallow. But God has created it in such a way because he's looking at you as one flesh, one flesh. And if you're operating as one flesh, then you should say one thing and have one decision and go one direction. And the kids should follow that.
Absolutely. And the person who submitted this question, if you are listening in, which I pray that you are because you submitted the question, I suggest you go and read Genesis 27, and it talks about Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Esau. And it was a family myth because, you know, Rebekah was favoring one child over another child, and another one stole another one's birthright. I mean, it blows the show Empire out of the water. And maybe this can go in depth and give you the answer that you are looking for. And you and your husband or you and your wife need to read this together. And so you can both get an understanding of what happened. And you can take it all the way into Genesis 28. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So I hope that we answered your question. We can't stay on every question too long because Tyrone and I, we have a lot of questions here. So we're going to move on to number three here. Mm-hmm. He says, it's a man. He said, I'm a man raising my daughter alone. I've met a woman who I admit I am not in love with, but I care for. Would it be so bad to marry her so my daughter can have a mother figure and she can help me raise my daughter? Okay, let me take the front seat on this one, Ty.
Okay.
Yes, it will be wrong to marry someone that you are not in love with. Caring for, you care for a pet, okay? But when you enter a covenant with someone, you need to love them. You need someone to help you raise your daughter. You reach out to a female cousin. You reach out to an aunt. You reach out to younger women in the church that are really passionate about working with children. That's what you do. You don't marry someone for help. Okay? I could not believe I was reading this question. So,
well, I mean,
he's
looking for an answer.
He's
looking for an answer.
Yeah, I know you're looking for an answer. And I hope, I'm not going to lie. I was going to say, I hope I don't hurt your feelings. But this kind of got to me a little bit because I'm like, you know, you're getting ready to do a mercy marriage. Because you need some help with your daughter. No. I think that is absolutely wrong. Okay, Tyrone, go.
It's wrong. But, you know, I want to take it a little further because not only do people marry for those type of reasons to help their kids and all that, but now marriage has become an economic opportunity. Whereas,
you know,
we're boyfriend and girlfriend, we get along well. You know, I'm struggling, you're struggling. It's best we just get together and we can do this together, you know. Me and Tanya and my wife were talking about it with this song that's out, that's been out called, about Let's Get Married, we're not getting no younger, let's just do this. I don't know who it's by, but, you know, I said it's a stupid song, but that's the attitude that many people take. You know, well, you know, let's just go ahead and do this thing, you know. Our money will come together. It's better for us to live, you know, together than apart. That's not a way to get married. You know, I'm not going to get married to help me pay my bills. Because what's going to happen if somebody lose their job? You know, then
exactly.
The economic opportunity is no longer there. Then the economic partnership is being broken.
You know, this is a covenant thing. This is more than just getting together and living with somebody. It's more than that. This is a spiritual bond. It's a spiritual covenant tie that goes beyond just cohabitating. And we've, you know, diminished marriage into just cohabitation when it's more than that. This is a spiritual bond that is that goes more than just flesh. Because what happens if you get married because she's beautiful, but then the next day she's in a car accident and horribly disfigured and crippled, and she's a totally different person than she was when you first married her? It shouldn't change anything because you're not marrying her for the flesh. You're marrying her through the spirit, which is a spiritual bond, which leads it to something else. You know, if one mate gains weight, if they gain weight, they gain weight. We're all going to gain weight, you know.
Absolutely. You know, and your bodies are going to change. You know, as you get older, you're not going to look like you looked when you were 20 years old. And so that's a very shallow way of looking at marriage. But, you know, a lot of people say these days that people aren't necessarily marrying for love. They're marrying for help. And this question is a clear indicator of what people are saying about modern day marriage. So I hope that we help this brother out. No, that is wrong. Do not marry this woman. It will come back to bite you. Trust us. It will bite you in more ways than one. And
bite
what example?
She don't bite him.
And what example?
She find out he married her just to take care of his baby.
Come on now. And what example is that setting for your daughter? Can you imagine him sitting up and the woman is saying, well, you know, I know your daddy never loved me. He just needed help with you. What kind of mess is that?
Yeah.
I'm like,
he's
oh, no.
Stuff up.
Ooh. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. Okay, now this one is very sensitive in nature.
Okay.
Here we go. It says, the Bible tells us not to fornicate, but we as humans still have needs. I masturbate and occasionally watch porn, and now I'm told this is wrong as well. What are we to do?
Go play basketball.
Go to the gym.
Okay, yeah, I get this question a lot. I get this question a lot. And let me just say
from the front.
Yeah, I get this question a lot. And understand, there are many things that the Bible does not say is explicitly wrong. The Bible does not say is explicitly a sin to smoke marijuana or to take cocaine. It does not say it's explicitly wrong to masturbate. There's nowhere in the Bible is going to say that it's a sin to masturbate. However, you have to understand that with these things comes layers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With masturbation, first of all, is self-gratification, okay? And the masturbation, even though it's a physical act, we have duality in our bodies as far as sexual, which means our mind works with our body, okay? I'm just trying to set this up. Our mind works with our body. For our body to respond, our mind has to be in a certain place, okay? And Jesus said very clearly, you don't necessarily have to sleep with a woman to commit sin. Just the thought of it is sin by itself. So the act of masturbation itself is not a sin, but what goes on in your mind to allow the masturbation to continue, that's where the sin comes in, okay? And if you are single and you are fantasizing in your mind in order for your body to react to that fantasy in a sexual manner, that is the sin. That's where the sin comes in. Watching porn, same thing. The act itself of watching porn is not a sin, but the results of it, the byproducts of it, is where sin comes in. Because the more you watch it, the more you want to act it out, the more you want to participate, the more you fantasize, the more you glorify that. Okay? So it's the byproducts that come from it. Now, if you're married and you know, you fantasize about your wife, that's fine. You can fantasize about your wife all day long. You fantasize about your husband all day long. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. But you know, if you're not married, you know, it's a hard thing. is difficult because it requires discipline. It requires self-discipline and you know, a mindset of not doing it, which you're not going to win every battle. I'm going to be real. You're not going to win that battle every time. But thank God for grace. Hallelujah.
Thank God for grace.
You can't win this battle. You can't win this battle every time because your body is the body. I mean, we are sexual beings. We are, especially men. Men have testosterone. And that drives us to do certain things. It drives us to have certain pulls and certain desires. And it's not something you can just turn off. But thank God for grace, that when we fall weak, he's strong. When we come up short, he makes up the gap. But that does still give, that doesn't give you license to do it anyway. So to answer your question, itself, the act itself is not necessarily a sin, but what goes on your mind is when you get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such an addiction. It's just like alcoholism, and it's like gambling. And even married couples have gotten divorced behind one person addicted to porn.
Yes, yes. That, you know, I'm still on the fence about whether it's an actual addiction. I think it's more of a character flaw. I'm being very careful with that, of saying, you know, about sexual addiction. You know, if it's I'm a sex addict. I'm not really sure about it being a sex addict. I'm more inclined to say it's a character flaw.
I don't believe in that sex addict stuff either. I don't believe in that. People going to rehab to be a sex addict. I don't receive that. But that's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I just can't. Okay, so whew, okay, that was one of the heaviest ones. So we're halfway there, Ty, and you're still with me. You haven't hung up on me. Okay.
No, I'm here. You ain't hitting that hard yet.
oh, really? I'm just flushed and all red. I'm like, oh, Lord, Jesus. Okay. Okay. Now, this question, this is for you because they put your name in this question.
Okay.
It said, Tyrone can probably best answer this, being a man, coming from a man. My fiance cheated on me, and although I told her I've forgiven her, I cannot get over it. She's still planning this big wedding, and I don't know what to do. I keep visualizing her in bed with this other man. I've never, you put this in caps with an underline on it, I've never cheated on her, which makes it extra hard to accept. What should I do?
Ooh, Lordy. You know.
Okay, I know how men are.
You know, the funny thing about this and the irony when it comes to relationships, you know, they say all men are dogs, all men cheat. And, you know, for the most part, men do cheat. But, you know, women cheat. They just are smarter about it than we are. But the thing about it, women can get over infidelity much easier than men can. Men have generally, typically, a harder time getting over infidelity, especially when they haven't done anything themselves. And mainly it comes from, like I said, testosterone, because we're ego-centered people as far as men. We're territorial, and that comes from just who we are. We're men. That's our nature. That's in our nature to be territorial. And so when that trust is broken, it's very hard for men to get over that. What this brother needs to do, if they're planning a wedding and he's still feeling these emotions, he's feeling, they need to pump the brakes. And he needs to really have a sit down, and they need to go to some counseling, some mediation from a third party that he can express his feelings. Most of the time, men need to just express it some kind of way to get it out of their system. And with the young lady, I believe if she understands the amount of emotion that he's having over this and this distrust, she needs to do everything she can to build that trust back. Because what it boils down to is his self-esteem is destroyed, because he's comparing himself with this other guy and saying, okay, what did this other guy have that I didn't have? You know, am I lacking something? Am I diminishing something? And, you know, the clinical term is penis envy. You know, he's wondering, is he bigger than me? That's the question he's asking. He wants to know, you know, is he better than me? You know, what does he have that I don't have? And the unknown is the biggest thing that can destroy that marriage. So he needs to get it out. He needs to get the emotions out, talk to somebody, and pump the brakes on that marriage, because apparently she doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to, even though he directed this toward you because you are a man, I am going to go in on it from a woman's perspective. What she did was absolutely wrong, number one. But also, I believe that some women are more hung up on the wedding than they are committed to the marriage. They are all excited about the dresses and the flowers and the music and the romanticism behind it. But that's just a formality. That is not marriage. There's one day where you feed a bunch of people that come eat for free, and they stand around and look at you, tell you how beautiful you are, and kiss you, and then they go home. Then you go home, and then there is life. He did not say whether you know I'm talking the truth. He did not say, which of course he wasn't going to go into depth, you know, is she owning this? I mean, did she just say, oh, sorry, well, what kind of flowers do you want? Or is she really trying to work through this? Because like you said, men are more prone to cheat than women, but women do it too. The only thing is that she's not good at it because she got caught. Okay, well, I don't know that. She may not have got caught. She may have fessed up. You know, who knows? But the thing about
she's not good at it. She's not good at it.
She's not good at it because most women don't get caught. But, you know. Okay.
Oh,
sorry. I went in. But you know what I'm saying, Ty. You get the premise of what I'm saying. And so what he needs to do is sit down with her and say, look, I'm having a problem with this. We need to pump the brakes on this wedding because I have to, you know, I have to, you know, get this, I have to work through this. In other words, I have to work through it. Problems are just going to mount if he goes ahead and goes through with this wedding. Because
anytime he looked at her, anytime he kisses her, anytime they're intimate, anytime there's anything, he's going to be in the back of his mind, did she do this with him? You know, was he better than me? You know, so there's no way that he can go into this marriage in a positive manner with this hanging over it. It's like a storm cloud. And, you know, it's important what you said, you know, how does she react to the whole situation? Does she own it? Is she being flippant about it? You know, maybe he deceived her, because men do this too. He's told her, no, I'm good. You know, I'm fine. No problem with it. You know, I'm good. You know, we are good. And so she's thinking everything's good when in his mind is really not. And, you know, men, we don't want to show our vulnerability, show that we're hurt and that we're insecure. We don't want to show all that. So, you know, we'll say, well, you know, we're good, but in our mind it's something else. And then they say, okay, you know what, since I feel this way, I'm going to cheat and let her feel like how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a bad situation.
Yeah. You know, I agree with Tarbone. I think that this marriage needs to be put on hold until you get some counseling and, you know, really talk some things out. I can't say that you'll get over it. When you have been betrayed, it's a very deep-rooted wound, and it takes a big man. I mean, women forgive men all the time that they cheat on them, but it's something different when it's the other way around, and I know that from having brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is with Tyrone is you just pray about this and walk very lightly, but by no means do you need to get married and go through with this wedding. I don't care how many deposits you lose. It is nothing in comparison to the misery that you would go through if you went ahead and married this woman with all of this bottled up on the inside, because it's going to come out eventually, the way you feel, either in your words, verbally, or in your actions. And it is just not worth it. And it also makes me question her commitment to the relationship. Because if you're so in love and you're ready to get married, why are you going and sleeping with another man? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
This could have happened years and years and years ago, and he's still not over it.
That's true.
And with men, it can happen. And with men, it can happen. It can happen 10 years ago. and they never address it. They just put it in the back of the mind, put it on the shelf, and just never deal with it until 10, 15 years later. Then it bubbles up, and it just overwhelms them. So, you know, we just don't know, you know, enough details as far as, you know, how she dealt with it. That's the key, is how she dealt with it. But we do know that he needs to get counseling, both of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, God bless you, brother. I pray the best for you and that you get through it. And, you know, hopefully everything will work out with you and the young lady. But trust me, Tyrone and I, we've been around for a long time, and we have both been hurt and both been betrayed, and it's not easy, but you will get through it, okay? All right, now here is a question that comes through that I can relate to because my parents were the same way. It says, my parents always taught me to have safe money. This is money I have put back that my husband does not know about. I'm starting to feel guilty about it when we're struggling financially. Any advice without condemning me?
Oh, no. Any advice without condemning me? Yeah, it's all your husband's fault. Yeah, he's wrong for not knowing you got money hid on the side.
Well, we used to call it back money.
Oh, have mercy. Okay, I'm just going to say it like this. If you have money, well, the Bible says, your husband and your wife are one. You're one. One flesh, okay? Everything that he has now becomes yours. Everything that you have now becomes his. Mm-hmm. And anything that you hold back is deception. And I'm just going to leave it right there.
Ma'am, that means he's saying you wrong.
And if she feels like she has to have money just in case, then maybe he wasn't the one she should have married.
Yeah, you know, this is true. And even, you know, I know a lot of times in marriages, there's usually one person that's better with money than the other. But from the looks of this question, it appears that she came in at the gate putting money back. She was,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? That's a woman thing. Women, most of the time, whenever I've counseled marriages, when it came to a money issue, it was always the woman that had the problem. When it comes down to a sex issue, it's always the man with the problem. Unless it's an
Why
older
is
couple,
that?
Then the woman has a sex problem with the man because he's older now. But when it's always money, it's always the woman. Either he's not making enough or he's spending too much or, you know, things of that nature. And it comes from where women want to feel secure. They want that security, financial security, physical security, emotional security. They want that. And if you're not supplying it, they'll supply it for themselves. But there's still a matter of trust here, you know. That there's a trust, you know, piece here that you have to include. And I'm not going to condemn her, you know, but how would she feel if she found out he has some money off to the side?
Yeah.
And she, not better yet, how would she feel if she found out he got more, he has some money off to the side and it's more money than what she got?
This is true. That would be a problem.
That would be an argument. That would be a problem. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm just going to let that lay right there.
Yeah, well, you know, you're keeping secrets. You're keeping secrets. And then in the question, it states that they're struggling financially. So what you're saying is you have the money, okay? You have the money to help out in the household, but instead you're holding on to the money and you're letting the household struggle because he doesn't know about your back money.
Mm.
And I think, and you know, and I think that is wrong within itself. You know,
yeah.
I understand everything that you said, but you know, that's even worse. It's kind of like you having food and everybody in the house is hungry, but you're hiding off in the closet eating while everyone else is asleep with their stomach growling. When
exactly.
You could share the food and everybody could eat. So,
yes.
Sis, you wrong. So you just need to tell old dude about the money and keep it moving because you're
Yeah, and let me say this. I'm not saying that she can't have her own money. You know, I always advise every couple, listen, you need to have a joint account because it keeps everything on the up and up. Everybody knows where the money is going. Everybody knows how the money is being spent. But if she wants to have her own money, have her own little account for her own little money, fine. Say, okay, well, listen, you know, we got X amount of bills, X amount of money left over. You have this much, I have this much, you know, to spend how we want. Okay, I have a problem with that. But the key is, you know, when you, especially when the two biggest reasons for divorce in the United States is because of money, number one, and sex, number two. When there's deception in money, it causes very big problems, trust issues. And let me say this about men. She cannot, and I would advise her, don't assume that he does not know that she's got money stacked off to the side. He may know and may not say nothing about it. It may just be stacking up his money. That's the man's mentality. And mm-hmm. that may be the reason why they're struggling financially, because both of them are not just too busy stacking up money instead of paying the bills.
Yeah, and it's defeating the household, period, because everybody is out for themselves. Right. Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, I read that when Michael Jordan's wife had divorced him, or was it, no, I'm sorry, it was Shaquille O'Neal's wife, and mm-hmm. she had bought up property and everything else. Problem was that she put everything in her name, and so when it came to the divorce, they found out all of these things that she had been doing over the years because she was stacking because she knew that he was a womanizer, and she mm-hmm. probably thought in the back of her mind that eventually they would end up divorcing. And so she was stacking money, whereas basically she was stacking the money that he was bringing in from his career. But from the looks of this question, this girl had just started stacking, I guess, quote unquote, her money. But like you said, when you're married, it's not your money, it's our money.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So we're not condemning you, but
no,
all
we're
saying
condemning
is
she's not
that
wrong. She's not wrong, but she's just incorrect. She's not wrong. She's just incorrect.
but what we're saying is we're just giving it to you from a perspective of this is a form of this is dishonest, and this would be a definite trust breaker, okay? And this would be something that may be irreparable. There would be no bouncing back from this if it just really blew up into something big. So
exactly. You
pray about if you're going to tell this man about this money, are you going to go pay the bill and say it was a manna from heaven? I don't know what you're going to do, but
I can tell you right, she's going to be in trouble no matter what she do. She's going to be in trouble. She's going to be in trouble because if she, especially if she got a lot of money, she gonna have to account for where that money came from. So she gonna be in trouble. So she might as well just take the hit and go ahead and get right and just take it and pray and ask Jesus to give her grace and mercy. But she's not wrong, she's just incorrect. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see here. Here's another one, and it's dealing with online dating. It says, I'm a single male. I'm a very busy professional. I don't go to clubs, and I'm considering trying online dating. However, I'm also a preacher. Do you think that would damage my witness?
I think that would be stupid. And I'm going to say it just like that. You see, that's stupid. I'm going to say it again just so they can hear it. I hope he's listening. That would be stupid. No.
Do you think it's going to damage his witness?
It's going to damage more than that. He might end up dead.
Well,
let's not do that. Let's leave that alone. Online dating is not God's way, okay? I understand that
Christian Mingle,
leave it alone, okay? Realize Christian Mingle, they didn't make Christian Mingle as a ministry, they made Christian Mingle to make money, okay? And just because it says Christian Mingle, you cannot assume that everybody on there is Christian, okay? Just because they say they're Christian doesn't mean they are, okay? But again, it is not God's plan. It's not how God has designed this to work, and you're meeting somebody, you don't know who they are, a picture on the screen, and they're telling you, I am this, I am that. You don't know. Now, I understand there may be some success stories, and I'm not discounting that at all.
But as a minister, as a preacher, you have to be very careful how you approach people and how you do that. And if he's as busy as you say he is, maybe God, and listen, I really believe that sometimes God ordains people to be single for a season to get themselves ready. Because if you can't live, if you can't be happy being single, you can't be happy being with somebody else.
That's true. You know, that is so, so true. And I know of a success story. My coworker, Danielle, you know, she met a guy on eHarmony and they're getting married, but that does not guarantee success. And when he is asking, do you think that this would damage my witness, you know, that is an area, obviously, that he is concerned about. And with you being a pastor, Tyrone, I thought you would really be able to weigh in on this. I just didn't know how passionate you were going to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because the one thing he didn't say in that whole thing is that, you know, has he asked God? Has he sought God for direction on this? You know, has God given him direction on, you know, his mate or what kind of mate or where he should meet this mate or if he should even have a mate? You know, you have as a pastor, as a preacher, you have to be very cautious in how you approach relationships, because just from a, you know, from a career point of view, you meet the wrong person, it can destroy your career as a minister or a preacher or a pastor. You meet the right one, it can take you to the top. But you have to make sure that you're prayerful about that, and just going on some dating site, no, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. The best way to do it is let God direct you, and until he shows you, you sit there and be quiet.
Yeah, and also that could be just as bad as a preacher that goes around and sleeps with a bunch of women.
You know,
the ones that travel, and they have women in every city, and, you know, it's just as bad. So you have to really stop laughing, because Tyrone and I have discussions about this, because I am a PK to my soul. And between my grandfather and my father, I have seen some stuff in the church house that has just been absolutely unreal.
They got girlfriends in every city.
Every city. She be in the choir and everything, and as soon as service is over, it's kind of like she had that little red light on her head, and he says, and he zooms, right, and he just leaves everybody. He smokes everybody in his path, you know, to get to her. Just mows everyone down. You're like, didn't the guest preacher want to speak, say hi or something? He just mows us over, getting over the sister's watermelon over there.
He know right where he's going to.
Yeah, exactly. He know exactly where he's going to. Okay, Tyrone. I'm going to have to take a nap after this show.
I mean, let me just put it this way for this brother. Imagine he puts his profile on this dating site, okay? And nothing happens. He doesn't find anybody. But then maybe 2 years down the road, he becomes a pastor, and he starts pastoring a church. And then one of his members happened to be on that dating site and see his profile up there and say, why is pastor up here on a dating site? You know, or even still, he may find somebody and get married and still have his profile up there, and somebody sees it. You know, when it comes to ministry, perception is truth. Okay, and if he has a dating profile up on this page, on that page, or this page, on that page, innocently, it doesn't have to be anything bad. You know, it could be innocently. It could damage his testimony, it could damage his authority and his witness to the people, because they're saying, okay, you know, I see Pastor Jimbo on all the different websites, and he just got married last week, so what's the deal? So, you know, and church folk will investigate you.
Yes, they will. I mean, they will dig in with a vengeance. And I had reposted, you know, we did the two-part episode on Church Hurt. And I had reposted both of those shows by request, because some of the people had went to the website and they talked about how they really liked the shows. And it really dug into the church and how people can be so very, very hurtful. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to walk light when you are a minister and you've been called to pastor. You have to really walk light. And Tyrone talks to me all the time in regards to the offers that I get for people that want to be on the show, you know, for people that want me to life coach them. He really talks to me about protecting my brand, which, of course, I also know that he's being protected because he's my brother. But, you know, you have to really walk light and you have to be prayerful about things. And if you had to submit this question, it already lets us know that you are struggling with it. And maybe your alarm, which I call the Holy Ghost, is prompting you not to do this. So you may want to pray about it and kind of cease on that tip at this point. Okay. All right, we got 10 minutes left, and we have one more question, and we made it through. Whew, this was a deep one. Yeah. But it was good, but it was deep. Okay, the last question, it says, I've been praying over an issue for a long time. Long time is in capital letters. With no answer. Is there a point where our prayers fall on deaf ears?
No, not at all.
No.
The Bible says that Daniel prayed. He prayed for 2 weeks for the for direction for the nation, and he never heard anything. And but we found out that the prayer was heard from the beginning, but the message was held up by Satan. And many times God may not answer your prayer directly because there's a lesson. There's a lesson that he's trying to take you through. You know, Job went through 40 years, you know, but God answered his prayer. You know, it just his timing is not our timing. And many times God will have to allow you. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God will have to allow you to go through certain situations. Number one, to teach you something and prepare you for what you're asking for. Because listen, just because you ask for something doesn't mean you're ready to handle what you've asked for. And, you know, it's amazing that we're talking about relationships. People ask for people that they can't handle. You know, I want to, God, send me a pastor. I want to be married to a pastor. Oh, baby,
you don't know
what you're getting into.
You don't understand
what you're talking about, you know. And before you jump into that, he's going to take you through a crucible experience. So if you can't handle this, you surely can't handle that.
Oh,
and so, you know,
that is no joke.
I was doing a study on the book of James, and the book of James, it talks about, you know, there's fighting and grumbling among us because of the lust of our flesh. You know, there's things that we ask for and that we want that we really don't need. And so we ask God for it, but we ask amiss because we're asking out of the lust of our flesh. And so we have to make sure, first of all, that what we're asking for is lined up with God's word and lined up with God's will. And if it's not, then we know that we're not going to get it, you know. But if God is withholding something from you, then you know it's for your best. It's for your best. All things work together for the good, you know. So God knows better than what you need. He knows better than you what you need. So if he's not answered it, then it's for a purpose. But you have to have faith in that.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, I'm going to basically say there's three ways that God can answer a question. And he will answer, but it has to be in his time. And like Tyrone said, and God will either say yes, no, or wait. But you will get your answer.
Let me add one to that. He'll say yes, no, wait, or he'll answer your prayer with a problem.
Mm.
Answer your prayer with a problem. So, okay, you want to be married.
Ouch.
You want to be married. Well, let me send you a problem relationship. Let me send you through some heartache. Let me send you through some infidelity. Because these are the things that you're going to have to deal with being married. And if you want to be married, this is what you have to deal with. You want to be a preacher so bad? Well, let me take you through a crucible experience where your name is drugged through the mud and where your heart is broken and you're despondent and you're poor and you're broken. People are talking about you and no one seems to appreciate you like you did Hosea. So let me do this and see if you're ready. See if you really want to be a preacher. If you do you want to be rich so bad? Okay, fine. Well, I'll let you be rich and I'll let you have all the problems that come along with being rich. Because we have typically a myopic view of things that we ask for. We don't see the full picture where God sees the full picture. And so he said, I answer your prayer, but I'm going to answer it with problems. And if you can handle this, then you can handle that.
Yes, and we in ministry, we know that a ministry, as they say, ministry can be a burden. And it is a rough road. it's worth it. But why, like old people used to say, watch what you ask God for, because he just may give it to you.
Exactly.
He just may give it to you. So if your prayers are not falling on deaf ears, God is just waiting on his timing, not your timing. Okay? And when he answers, just accept what he says and keep it moving and be glad that we have a God that will answer our prayers, because you can call somebody else and leave them a voicemail and they may never call you back. You may text somebody, they may never text you back. So at least God gets back with you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You just keep praying. You know, it says in the word, you know, ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking. You know, so you never wear God out, okay?
Amen. Amen.
So just be
Amen.
Encouraged on that note. Well, we are approaching the end of our show, and as usual, we have Tyrone pray us out. Before he prays, I just wanted to thank everyone for tuning in. The switchboard was lighting up tonight, so I guess Freestyle Saturday was a success. So I just wanted to let you know that I deeply appreciate it. It warms my heart. This is my passion. I love this show. I love Tyrone. I cannot see doing this show without him, and I thank him for taking time out of his Saturday when he has to preach every Sunday morning to sit with his sister and go through a multitude of questions, but also a multitude of laughs. So on that note,
Amen.
Big Brother, go ahead and pray us out.
Okay. Father, right now we just thank you, Father, for just another day. We thank you, Father, for another opportunity to come and hear your word, Father, and just to commune with you one more time. And Father, right now we receive so many questions, and there are so many problems and so many situations, Father, that your people are dealing with, Father, and they're seeking direction. They're seeking your word and your will. And Father, we pray right now that you just send direction right now. You send revelation, Father. Father, you answer these prayers that have gone unheard, Father, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, Father. Let them know that you are still there, Father. And Father, those that are troubled and those that are going through a situation that it seems that they cannot handle, Father, we pray right now that you'd send peace right now and that you would just stabilize the situation and stabilize their mind. And Father, let them know that you are God and you're a God that does not fail. And Father, we thank you right now for what you're going to do even on tomorrow, Father, as your word goes forth, Father. We pray for every church that are represented right now. We pray for every preacher, every pastor. And Father, we pray for our people that we will hear the word, but not only hear the word, but apply it to our lives, that you, God, may receive the glory. And Father, we thank you right now for Bridget Franklin, for what she's doing in her ministry. And we pray for increase, we pray for promotion, and we pray your will right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ty. I love you. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Love you, too.
We'll see you next week. Bye, Ty.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. God bless.